need to get up and do it for the honor and glory of the Lord tonight. I don't have my little thing. I'll try to be still as I can. It's just us tonight. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. I'm glad I'm saved. And what I want to talk about tonight is a firm foundation. This is very familiar scripture, obviously. But I'll tell you, I think it's important that you have a firm foundation. You know, and as I look around the church and I see in the people that are here, I see that. You know, and one thing I've learned as I've gotten older and in ministry and preaching, used to, I'd go to church when I was young and preachers would preach and they'd hit on a subject and they'd run across it and they'd hit on something else and they'd run across it. You can't do that now because you have so many people coming in that aren't rooted and grounded in the Word. That when you deliver something, you have to make sure that you're delivering it in such a manner that they can receive it. And it's very important. Now, you know, when I was growing up, it was just we going to the Lord's house. We living for the Lord. And, you know, even I can remember when we was on vacation, my dad was so faithful. If we were gone on Sunday, we still had church. There's a little campground up there in Cherokee. If you come through Cherokee from Bryson City and you go through town, the road splits and you go to the left, go right over the hill. It's right there on the water. Many times we camped out in that little campground. And we'd get up in the morning, on Sunday morning, and my mother would be over there. She'd be cooking eggs out on the grill, you know, out on the Coleman stove. And my dad would be sitting over there studying. And he'd say, "Come here, kids." And he'd get us all, and we'd have to sit there. And I was smelling that bacon and them eggs. But until you had church, you didn't get breakfast. But you know, it's good to have a firm foundation. I'll read this scripture in Luke chapter number 6, and then I'm going to go over to Matthew chapter number 7 and read a parallel scripture. But I'm going to look at it, a firm foundation in a house built upon a rock. In Luke chapter 6, in verse 47 down through verse 49, it says, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Now, go over to Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to read just a few verses there also, beginning in the 24th verse. Read down through the 27th verse. It says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, shall be likened, doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Now, you know, if we look at this scripture, and I begin to think about this, how important it is to have a firm foundation. And I'm fortunate enough tonight that I've got that in my life that, you know, and I mentioned it this morning, the sounding again of the mountains. Not everybody's got that. But you can have it. Now, what I've got to have has got to be for me and for me alone, and it can't be for anybody else. But I want to have it in my home. I want to have it in my life, and I want to have it wherever I go, because to be honest with you, I want to pass it to my children. There's going to come a time when I'll be gone, and it'll be their turn to raise children of their own. The scripture says in one place, "To train up a child in the way that he shall go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it." And I think that scripture's got two meanings, okay? Now, I do believe it means that you should look at their original gift or bent. In other words, God's give them a plan for their life. And as parents, we're supposed to look at them and figure out what that plan is and try to help them follow God's plan for their life. But I also believe that it means, if we just begin to look at references of Scripture, that if we teach them and the Word of God is in them, it's going to follow them. Now, you know, I've known people that grew up in church and they get away from God, and I've had conversations with even some of my own family praying for those that are, you know, need to be in the Lord's will and the Lord's way and aren't. And this is what I said. I said they were brought up and they were taught the right way, and it's in them. Now, you know what it's like if you're saved by the grace of God. God's word's in you. You can do a lot of things, but you can't hide from God. You can't hide from the Spirit of God. You can't hide from the presence of God. And when the Word is rich, and I could just, for me, it'd be hard for me to imagine ever not being in the house of God. But people do get away from God. And people do get in trouble. But I'll guarantee you something that I know based on what I've experienced and what I read in God's Word. You'll never be out of the presence of God if you've ever been saved. And God's voice and God's word will speak to you, and it'll come to you, and it'll let you know where you stand. I want to first look at the presence of the foundation, and I want us to look at this scripture. Because not everybody's got this, okay? If you look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 47, it says, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them." So, you know, and the Bible tells us in the book of James not to be just a hearer of the word, but to be a doer of the word. If you are a hearer and you are a doer, here's the first thing. You must believe. To have this foundation, you must be a believer. In other words, just because mom and daddy went to church all their life doesn't mean I'm okay. You know, every person's got to come to the age of accountability when the word of God begins to prick and speak to their heart. And they come and get saved by the grace of God. This morning we had a visitor that I spoke to out in the lobby. And they begin to talk to me about a couple of churches they went to around. And they're looking for a church. And I begin to talk to them. And they said, they mentioned a couple of preachers. And I said, yeah, that preacher was preaching when I got saved. And they were talking about Earl Partain. I don't know how many of you might know who Earl Partain is. But Earl Partain used to preach revivals down at Welcome Hill when I was a kid. And I can remember going to a lot of revivals as a kid. And I went to do just what these kids are doing right out here. Had to go out there and holler at them. Say, y'all, come on. They throw in that football. And they're out playing. And that's the way I was. Down at Welcome Hill, they had these little pine benches. And you can go in those benches. And over on this side, about the third bench back, you can see where I took an ink pen. And I took and I drew cars with the ink pen until the ink pen went through the paper. And I would glue them together with bubble gum, and I would build little model cars in church. Now, I was in church, but church wasn't in me. Now, if you're going to have the right foundation, it's got to get in you. And I can remember when I was standing there, when I got saved, I was standing right where you're sitting, Miss Becky, on this side, and preacher was preaching. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and let me know that I was lost. And it was amazing how God did this. It was just like it woke me up, and the Spirit of God said, he's talking to you. And it was like, that was shocked me. And I realized anymore I was accountable for what I heard. And in order for me to go forward, I had to accept Christ as my Savior. You see, what I want for this church in my heart's desire and prayer is for every young person that grows up in this church to be saved. Every young person that grows up in this church to get a foundation and a root in them that causes them to want to be in the house of God. That want to do God's work and God's things. Because the truth is, there's going to come a time when some of us are not going to be here. And we need to be able to pass it down to them. This foundation is important. It's found in those who believe. It's found in those who obey. You know that obedience is important. It's not just hearing the word, but doing the word. You know, if we look at the book of James, now we're not saved by our works, and please don't misunderstand me, because the scripture says in the Old Testament and the New that the just shall live by faith. But I believe when you get saved by the grace of God, it changes you supernaturally. You're not the same person you used to be. And if you want to live a life that's at peace, you better get to serving God somewhere. Okay? It's found in those who obey. It's found in those who are wise. Look at Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Now, you know, when you go to build a house, there's something that's required called a PERT test. You ever went into a subdivision, you're driving through and you pass a lot here and a lot there and you wonder why in the world they're not built on these lots? It could be because they did a PERT test and the soil was not suitable to build on. Now, sometimes people build anyway. There's a guy that I used to work with. He had a house. He lived out in Villa Rica. And when they built the house, they told him that the lot was really not suitable. But he had the lot. He had already bought the lot, you know, one of those deals. And he wanted to build on it. And he kept on and kept on till they told him, well, if you'll put in this extra line and you'll do this extra and you'll do this extra, then, you know, they finally got permission to build on the lot. You know, he built on this lot, but you can just imagine what happened. First time there was a big rain, he had such a mess in his yard that he couldn't live there. He ended up having to move away and leave this after he had made all this investment in it because the foundation had a problem. There's a building up in Wausau, Wisconsin. It's the most beautiful building in that town. Now, I flew into Wausau, Wisconsin several years ago. Tell you what it was like. First time I ever rode in a prop plane. We flew into Chicago. They walked us out. They're de-icing this thing. We get in it, and there's two seats over here. And they say, all right, we want everybody to get up and move to the back so we can get the nose up. So they took off. We're in this plane, and we're flying, and we're coming into this little town. And I'm looking down, and we're coming in for a landing. Where's the airport? And there was a bulldozer pushing snow. And we landed in the tracks that the bulldozer pushed out. Now, I'm adventurous, so I was beginning to enjoy myself. We got out, and the airport was one hangar building, not even as big as this church, and you had to walk over to it. So I'm thinking, what in the world? We got into Wausau, Wisconsin, and I was amazed that there was this, you know, this little old town, and over here in the distance was this big, beautiful, multi-story building that was built. Outside of it was just marble. And I began to look at it, and it had light shining on it from the ground. I mean, it was what everybody saw in that town. And I made a comment. I said, that's a beautiful building over there. What is that? They said, yeah, it's pretty, but it's sinking. They said one corner of it has already sank 1 foot into the ground. And they've done some studies on it, and they give them a certain amount of time, and it's going to be condemned. And I began to listen, and they said, it's got a real serious problem with its foundation. Now, do you understand that just because something's pretty on the outside doesn't always mean the foundation's right? That the foundation has got to get right, it's got to be right in order for the building, for God to ever be able to build what he wants to build in you and in I. The foundation has got to be right. So it's important. It's found in those who believe. It's found in those who obey. And it's found in those who are wise. You know, I was listening to Ravi Zacharias preaching recently. And he was talking about going into a town to speak at one of these secular colleges. A lot of them, you know, used to be Christian colleges. And he passed by a building and they wanted to make sure he saw it. They said, we want you to see this building over here. This is our first existential building that's been built in this town. Now, here's what they mean by that. Existentialism teaches that there's no purpose, there's no meaning. In other words, the foundation's not important. That just anything goes and anything that you believe is okay. And he began to look at it and he said they begin to, he actually stopped and they showed him a little bit of it. He said there were staircases that led to nowhere. They would just go up and had no rooms. There were windows that had no place. They would look through, but they would look at a wall. And he said, it's like the building had no purpose or no meaning whatsoever. And they were so proud of it because this exemplifies what we're teaching. And he just looked at him and he laughed. And he said, well, did they do the same with the foundation or did they check it out before they built it? Now you think about that. The building may not have any meaning, but if the foundation's not strong, it's going to sink. Look at the purpose of the foundation. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 25, it says, "The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Now here's something I want you to understand as Christians, and I can remember when I got saved, but I can also remember one time when I was just a boy. My dad was preaching. And he was preaching out of the book of Job. And I remember this because God, it's another one of those times that God spoke to me and woke me up. He said, "Don't think that just because you're living your life for the Lord, you're never going to have any trouble." Now the Bible teaches us, and there's a verse of scripture I can give you. It says it rains upon the just and the unjust alike. We're all going to have storms. Now scripture says here, the rain descended. Said the floods came. Said the winds blew, and it says it beat upon that house. Now, I want to tell you something. That's something I don't like. I don't like it when the rains come. I don't like it when the floods come. I don't like it when the wind blows. And I've used the analogy, when I lived up in LJ, there was a little lake that I used to go bass fish in. It was in the bottom of a ravine. There was a mountain on all four sides. I had to walk down into there to where that thing was at. But you know, it was so still down there that if a leaf blew out of a tree, it would ripple and you'd see it all the way across that water. And I began to look at that lake and I thought, "Lord, this is what I want. That's where I like my life to be. No waves. No troubles. No problems. No wind. No storm." But the purpose of a strong foundation is to withstand the storm. It's like I heard a man, he came when I was pastoring down at True Gospel, and we got to the church one Sunday morning and there was an 18-wheeler parked in the parking lot. First thing I did is I began to grumble. Somebody's tearing up our parking lot. But it wasn't but just a few minutes when people began to show up that out of that vehicle, that 18-wheeler, a man and a woman came. And they walked into the church. We shook their hand. Of course, I felt a little conviction, you know, for fussing about the parking lot. Got through that. Welcomed them into the church. And while we were having service, a man asked a question. He stood up in the church service. Never met. He was from Texas. I found out later. He said, "Can I sing a song?" And he came up and he led the congregation out of the songbook, "Have a Little Talk with Jesus." You remember this, huh? And after he led the song, he said, "I want to give you a testimony this morning." Never met this man before. But you know, sometimes God sends people into your life. And he stood up there and he began to speak to us. And he told us about storm. He said he owned a ranch in Texas. And he was cutting down a pecan tree. Big tree. And he said somehow that tree ended up on top of him. He couldn't remember exactly how. But it broke his back, broke all the bones in his lower back. It crushed his pelvic bone. And they told him he'd never walk. He said, "I owned a ranch." He said, "I didn't have health insurance." He said, "I lost everything that I had." He said, "I was told I would never walk, but I'm standing in front of you." He said, "But I stand in front of you in constant pain." He said, "I had to learn how to make a living and do differently. And that's why me and my wife travel this country. And I drive an 18-wheeler and that's how we live." You know, his testimony to us was of this. What would someone do that did not have a foundation? And that's what I heard. And he quoted the verse of scripture out of Philippians, where it says, "Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." And he began to talk about how God had brought him through it. And how that when people would look at him and they'd say, "We just don't understand how you can walk. We don't understand how you can deal with the pain. We don't understand how you can deal with the losses that you've suffered." And he began to tell them it was a testimony. You know what the scripture says? "The peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And he said, it gave me an opportunity to witness to people that I never would have been able to witness to before. But if I did not have the foundation that was built upon a rock, what happens to people? Why do homes fall apart when there's tragedy? There's a foundational problem. Do you know that the majority of families who suffer the loss of a child that are not Christians end up separated? That's statistically true. It's important that we have a foundation. It doesn't mean that we won't have storms and the rains won't come and the floods won't come and the winds won't blow. But we can stand because our foundation is in the Lord. It's very important, the purpose of the foundation. Look at the power of the foundation. Luke chapter 6, verse 48 says, he is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. In Psalms 125 and verse number 1 says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. You see, this foundation is built to not be shaken. Now, here's what I mean by that. Doesn't mean you're not going to have trouble. You know, the Spirit, the Bible teaches us in the New Testament that the Spirit of God bears witness with us. And it says that it actually makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be even be uttered out of our mouth. Now, my mother is the first person to speak that scripture to me. You know, we were sitting today at lunch and I was asked about my siblings. I have one brother and two sisters that are living. But I have one little sister that's in heaven. I was 7 years old when she passed away and she was 3 and she died with a very bad type of cancer. My dad was a pastor at the time. My mother was a young mother. She had 2 other children. But she said, my mother told me, she said, I learned exactly what that scripture meant. And you know, sometimes you do learn when you walk through things. She said, I learned what it meant when I went and sat on Wendy's grave every day and didn't even have the words to speak. But I felt God wrap his arms around me and God knew my heart. And because God knew my heart, he spoke on my behalf. And I believe that's what that means. He knows what's in our hearts. But here's what's important. Where would she be without that relationship? Where would she be without that foundation? How important that foundation is. Because, you know, it doesn't mean as Christians that we're not going to have storms, we're not going to have heartaches, we're not going to have troubles. But we're founded upon a rock. And that rock's going to stand. And we're not going to be shaken off of it if we just hold on. Now here's something else, and this is, Brother Larry, one of your favorite verses. Yet if we believe not, he still remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. You know those times that I thank God that he held on to me? Do you know that if you belong to him, there might be times he's got a hold of you, keeping you from getting too far away. Because you just can't see enough. You can't do enough. Not even know how to pray. Sometimes, Lord, deliver me from myself. Lord, hold on to me till I get strong enough again to hold on to you. Or do you have the relationship? That's the thing. You know, it's very important to have that foundation. Now, the place of the foundation is in Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of different religions that people can get involved in, and sometimes people do. I don't know, for all different reasons. I've had several people recently asking me about witnessing Jehovah's Witness. I guess they're on the march. But you know, here's what you tell them. Those people don't know that they're going to spend eternity in heaven. If you ever start asking them a question, if you ever ask them, what makes you think you're going to heaven, or do you know that you're going to heaven? They can't tell you. Oh, Lord, the door's open wide open. You can lay the scripture on them. They don't know. Folks, you can't work your way into heaven. We go because of what Jesus did for us. Our foundation is in Jesus Christ, our Savior. And it's in him, and our trust is in him. Our hope is in him. Now, I want to give you just a couple of things. You know, if we look at the Christian foundation and compare it to the secular or the worldview, for us, we follow special creation. The world, evolution. We have biblical values. The world has worldly values, or I don't even know how you could put a value on some of the things that people are holding to today. We have an eternal perspective. I don't just live for today. I believe that everything that I do today matters for eternity, but the world has a temporal perspective because they have no hope of eternity. We have a godly vision, and I don't know what vision the world has, man's vision. A biblical worldview and an ungodly worldview. Is it God's way or my way? And then, a spirit-filled life or a spiritless life? That's where we're at today. So the foundation to me is very important. It's very important than everything that I have, everything that I do in my future. I want it to be very much a part of our children's lives as they go forward. You know, here's some thoughts that I had that I wrote down. Questions about my foundation is something to think about. Will my foundation hold when the storms come? You see, it could be a health storm. It could be a financial storm. It could be a family storm. How many times do I talk to people and they're in a situation in their family and it's not what they want? Just because we're in the house of God and we're serving God doesn't mean we won't have storms. And sometimes a church storm. You know, I'll be honest with you. I thought if I ever got to the point that I was pastoring a church, all the people that, you know what people tell me? Oh, I'm looking for a church where I can just go worship the Lord, where I won't be judged, where you know the word's preached and people are kind. I tell everybody I find, well, here it is, right here. Amen. You know, some of them come, they'll come a time or two and ask where they're at. They're right back where they were. Because you know what? They got a foundation problem. They need God in their life. They need God to dig some roots down and get faithful. Will my foundation hold when my faith is tried? Your faith will be tried. Will my foundation hold when I am ridiculed? If you hadn't been ridiculed, you hadn't been in church very long. Will my foundation hold? Now think about this. When darkness grows. You know, I'd love to see revival in America. I'd love to see it break out, and I believe it could. I believe it. Now, I'm one of those who believes it can. But people got to want it. Will my foundation hold when I face eternity? That's really what's important. You know, sometimes we go through life, and I'm guilty of it, and I've learned. I'm still learning. I'm not there yet. But I've learned sometimes. I got this little saying. I got these little sticky notes. I'm a sticky note person. Y'all remember when the day timers came out, and you had the little, you know, and then you got the little pad, and you had the little squiggly marks. You had to learn how you do all that stuff. I hate that stuff. Sticky notes in 1985, sticky notes today, okay? I got sticky notes, and I got them on my wall. And I put one up recently that said some things really matter and some things really don't. And for me, in my relationship with God to grow, for peace in my home, with my wife, my children, is being able to separate those things. See, because in eternity, what really matters? I want my life today to be lived as if I understand. I'll never forget that man that pulled up in that truck and got out and witnessed to us. And I spoke to him and got his name then. I don't remember it. But the testimony of what God did in his life. You don't ever know what you're going to face in your life. But the point is have a strong foundation. We're going to play a video here. And if God has spoke to your heart, you got that one, brother, just as I am. And if you'd like to come and talk to the Lord about anything, folks, we're in God's house. And this is God's family. And it could be whatever it is. You just come talk to the Lord about it. We're going to play this video here. Tom's got some nice videos he plays on Monday night. I was here last Monday night and saw that. He does a good job putting things together for Celebrate Recovery. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. I hope God spoke to you in some way through something we said. Did you do that? But I'm glad to be here. I'm glad I'm saved. We're not going to be having service Wednesday night. If you're traveling, please be careful. Watch out for the people out on the roads. Usually, when they leave,